In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No man can save himself. None is holy, none is pure. Journalists could dig up dirt on every single person here, and on every single person alive, and of every single person who has ever lived, rendering all people unfit for public service or the public eye, or a statue. There is no one who does good, for the wicked hearts of Noah's generation were not washed away by the flood, but they were passed on from Noah to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they passed it on to their children, and so it came down to us. As babies, we were born dead in our sin. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. Natural man desires to sin. He hates God and refuses to submit to him and sets himself up as the ultimate arbitrator of right and wrong. And so hypocrisy in our age seems to have reached its peak, virtue signaling for the sake of likes or popularity. Ours is an age that is obsessed with itself. How virtuous, moral, loving, and sympathetic I can appear, so that others will applaud me as a good person. Those who don't think like me or act like me are demonized. Those who don't recycle are seen as the worst of the worst, but we also must flip it. Pointing out their hypocrisy and patting ourselves on the back, thanking God that we are not like them, is also wicked. I'm not tied to my phone. I'm an independent, critical thinker. I don't follow the crowds. I keep a level head. Though one group may be larger than the other, they're both two sides of the same coin. Hypocrisy, wanting the praises of men. And they have their rewards in likes and clicks and pats on the back and getting their way. We live public lives, whether we admit it or not. People see us every day. And so we want people to like us, or at least not to dislike us. The same thing is true for family members, church members, or whatever other organization we belong to. So do we come in here and bow or make the sign of the cross because someone is watching and we want them to know how pious we are? Have we talked about going and getting our ashes today? Is this some badge of honor or mark of piety? How easy it is to value the opinions of men above the Lord because we see men. We interact with men. How easy it is to try to make a statement instead of simply living faithfully where God has placed us. How easy it is to find our satisfaction and self-worth in the praises of men, in what they think of us, instead of what God has declared us to be. Everyone is watching me, we think. Everyone is judging me. So we think that we're important. But I guarantee you, no one pays any attention to you at the store, on the road, or even here. Man is not your judge. So you cannot live to please man. There is a difference between what man calls good and what God calls good. The world is constantly calling good whatever benefits society. And depending on who is talking, from what ideological or political viewpoint, that can take a whole wide range of opinions. To the world, then, truth and goodness is completely subjective. Praying on a street corner may have been fine in Jesus' day, but certainly not in our day. So let us not become tied to this world. One day they're in favor of this direction, the next they're in favor of that direction, and we are left wondering what is truly good, right, and noble. But with God, goodness is objective. He defines it, for he alone is good. Piety and ceremonies do not make you good. Outwardly behaving does not make you good. Neither does contributing to society, recycling, preserving, or making some statement. A heart filled with faith makes you good. A true good work is that which flows from faith. That is why Christ tells us to pray in our closets, or to not let your right hand know what your left is doing, and to look like you are headed to a celebration when you are fasting. For the Lord wants the heart. Your actions flow from a heart filled with faith, and what is done in faith is rewarded. And so we don't recycle or take care of this world or help others or be diligent at work because someone is looking over our shoulders, but simply because God is our dear Father. And we don't fold our hands and bow our heads. We don't make the sign of the cross, put ashes on our heads, fast or bow at the altar because people are watching us, but simply to confess our faith so the body might know what the heart believes. So if you think that you are better than those who don't do these things, or if you think you are better than those who do these things, then you are hypocrites concerned about the teachings of men instead of the teachings of God. No one lives in a vacuum. Ceremonies, which we call body language, they are important. They're not commanded by God, but they are important. The heart will spill over into actions. A husband's love will take concrete forms. A wife's devotion to her husband will be seen. So a heart filled with faith leads to godly actions, such as folding hands, bowing a head, and yes, even fasting. Fasting reminds us of our sinful state and that the food of this world will not satisfy us eternally. Adam and Eve fasted in the Garden of Eden by not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we fast to train ourselves to live solely by the word of God. Not eating brings an immediate response of the body. Hunger is a little taste of death. And so children whine and complain that they're starving to death, and they're not too far off. We adults don't have parental constraints, so when we hunger, we go and grab a snack or prepare dinner. We do what we can to avoid hunger and pain and discomfort. But when we fast, we refuse to let our bodies determine our actions. We will not live by our bellies, but we practice self-discipline and control. The body cannot control us. The mind cannot rule over us. Our desire cannot be for food, but our desire must be for Christ and for his word. For he is our delight. He alone is our savior. Now, we will never harm our bodies, but neither are we living for our bodies. We use the things of this world, but we will not be tied to them. We receive them as a gift. And fasting trains us that these things are gifts to be used only for a time, for they will someday all be taken away. So we learn to do without food and drink. We learn to do without even family and friends, without comfort and vacations, without rest and relaxation. For these things are not our goals in life, but Christ is. He is our first love. And we'd rather be without the comforts of life than without him. He is our bread of life from which we may eat and so live forever. He is our wine that gladdens our heart. He is our joy and our crown. For he alone has removed our sin, bore our pain, and took away our death. He alone gives us a food that lasts into eternity. He gives us life, peace, joy, health, and salvation. Now, food is good. And friends are even better. And even their critiques and their opinions are good. But there still is something better, Christ and his cross. So strive for what is best. Order your life around what is best. Set your goals on obtaining the best. Do not be swayed by cultural opinions which are here today and gone tomorrow. Do not let them define what is good for you. But use this Lenten tide to confess your faith, to deepen your faith, and to live by his promises. Yes, everything is permissible for you, but not everything is beneficial. So let us say no to the body and yes to live by the Spirit. Let faith dictate our desires, our words, and our actions. Let faith direct our words, our body, our minds. For where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Our treasure rests in heaven, him who was crucified and raised, and our hearts remain with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.